This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Finally, Lord, they stopped asking you questions to trick you. Realize that doesn't work with you. Finally, maybe you reached their hearts, their souls, their minds. Maybe. Question us now, Lord. Are you reaching us? Are we hearing that we are loved so we can love as you love? Oh, Lord, please make it easier for us. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and bodies and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. I have a friend who signs off their email with this statement. You know, it's just printed at the bottom as an automatic response every time he writes an email. And I have always loved it until this week. Until this week. Love God, love others. Change the world. I even, this week, at the beginning of the week, was going to suggest it for the marquee out front because I thought it would be great for the theme of the week, but then because of the youth yard sale yesterday, we put up the ad for that. Well, now I realize that these words fall short. They leave out a big part of what Jesus was saying. It's not love God, love others. It's love God, love others as yourself. As yourself. These two commandments that Jesus gives us are two of the most often quoted texts from Scripture throughout the centuries, even around the time of Jesus. He was just referring to Scripture that he had heard in the Jewish text, in the Torah, in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And he was also quoting a famous rabbi at the time whose name was Rabbi Hillel. He died about 6 years before Jesus did. And somebody was testing Rabbi Hillel too. They came to him and they said, just get to the point, Rabbi. All of this stuff that we have to learn, all of the Torah, these big five books of the Bible, just get to the point. Can you tell us the meaning of the Torah by standing on while you're standing on one foot? And they figured he would have to give them some kind of simple answer because he couldn't stand on one foot forever. And so this is what he told them. What is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow. This is the whole Torah. The rest is the explanation. Go and learn. And that's basically what Jesus said, the summary of the law. Everything is summed up in this teaching today about love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And it's also the one truth that unites every single religion, if you didn't already know that. You will find something like this in every religion of the world. So two things. We have to know the source of our love as God. And secondly, loving ourselves is saying yes to a deep relationship with God. That means accepting the love and then being able to give it back. It's a two-way street. So if we know this source of love comes from something greater than us, that's a concept, then that source of love bubbles over. And we become aware and awake of it everywhere around us. And then we can more fully love other people. I ran across a blog by Dan Pierce. I had never heard of him. He has 2 million followers. He's got something called Single Dad Laughing, I think is what the title of it is. You've heard of it? And he's hilarious, and he's really great. And he said, I think the title of the blog was Love Your Neighbor as Yourself, Not So Much. And he goes on to say that his failed two marriages, all of his close friends that are no longer his friends, all of his good employees that left and resigned and are no longer his employees, his messed up life before now was because he loved others as he loved himself, and he didn't love himself. So everything everybody else was doing, he could just blame on them, because that's all he knew within himself, and he just blamed it all on them. What we believe about ourselves and see about ourselves is what we give out to the world. That's why it's a universal truth. And it wasn't until he found that, he wrote, that he began having healthy relationships. He began having love in his life that was true and real. This universal truth Jesus gives us today will change the world. It seems so simple that a seminarian friend of mine calls it impossibly simple. I don't agree. If we can't be hopeful, then who can be? It's not impossible. Difficult, yeah, but not impossible. God would not have given us free will. God would not have created us to be miserable. God would not make a mistake in creating us. God is there always for hope in heaven on earth. We yearn for our families to know love. We yearn for ourselves to know love and for others who are close to us to have happiness and security and joy, and we yearn and we try and we struggle, and yet, my sisters and brothers, comes a time when we have to get still and know who God is in our lives, and then get still some more, and then get silent and listen. And sooner or later, that recognition of how you are loved will bubble up. I hope you'll indulge me for a few minutes. I'd like to read to you one of my favorite children's books of all time. And it's taught me greatly over the years. I used to read it when I taught Montessori way, way back. It's called Play With Me. It's a Caldecott Honor book. And it's written by and illustrated by Marie Hall Etz. Pretend you're in kindergarten. It's what we all need to be realizing anyway. The sun was up, and there was dew on the grass, and I went to the meadow to play. A grasshopper sat on the leaf of a weed. He was eating it up for his breakfast. "Grasshopper," I said, "will you play with me?" And I tried to catch him, but he leaped away. A frog stopped jumping and sat down by the pond. I think he was waiting to catch a mosquito. "Frog," I said, "will you play with me?" And I tried to catch him, but he leaped away too. A turtle was sitting on the end of a log. He was just sitting still, getting warm in the sun. "Turtle," I said, "will you play with me?" But before I could touch him, he plopped into the water. A chipmunk was sitting beneath the oak tree, shelling an acorn with his sharp little teeth. "Chipmunk," I said, "will you play with me?" But when I ran near him, he ran up the tree. A blue jay came and sat down on a bough and jabbered and scolded the way blue jays do. "Blue jay," I said, "will you play with me?" But when I held up my hands, he flew away. A rabbit was sitting behind the oak tree. He was wiggling his nose and nibbling a flower. "Rabbit," I said, "will you play with me?" And I tried to catch him, but he ran to the woods. A snake came sneaking through the grass, zigzagging and sliding the way snakes do. "Snake," I said, "will you play with me?" But even the snake ran away down his hole. None of them would play with me. So I picked a milkweed and blew off its seeds. Then I went to the pond and sat down on a rock and watched a bug making trails on the water. And as I sat there, without making a sound, grasshopper came back and sat down beside me. Then frog came back and sat down in the grass. And Slowpoke Turtle crawled back to his log. And Chipmunk came and watched me and chattered. And Blue Jay came back to his bough overhead. And Rabbit came back and hopped around me. And Snake came out of his hole. And as I still sat there without making a sound so they wouldn't get scared and run away, out from the bushes where he had been hiding came a baby fawn and looked at me. I held my breath, and he came nearer. He came so near I could have touched him. But I didn't move, and I didn't speak, and Fawn came up and nuzzled my cheek. Oh, now I was happy, as happy could be, for all of them were playing with me. What changed? What shifted? She got still. She noticed God in creation when she was blowing the milkweed. And then she noticed that bug on the water. She became mindful. She became in the moment. She became aware and awake. In her peace, her stillness, a love of self emerged, and she attracted all the love she was hoping to get by running and running and pushing and pushing and pushing. And then when she got still, that which she didn't even ask for and couldn't even imagine came to her. She didn't ask for that deer. That was beyond her imaginings. The deer also came. That's how it is with God. About 10 years ago, I was going through a real difficult time in seminary, trying to figure out my new identity, and I was just in turmoil, and I had this great spiritual director named Margaret Gunther. Look her up. She's an author, and she's amazing. She's passed now, but she's just wonderful. And I went to her, and she had advised me in my turmoil to try to go away on a retreat for 3 days. And so I made the arrangements, and I was very excited, and I gathered together a couple of special books. And I went back to see her right before I went on retreat. And I told her that I was following her advice, and these were the books I was going to take. And she said, no. No books. I want you to go there, and I want you to watch the river. That's what she said to me. I was terrified. I'm kind of a type A person. I have to be, you know, doing something all the time. At least I thought I did. Well, I'll tell you, I took her advice. And it was crucial for me in learning how to navigate that difficult time. And I came back, and I was renewed. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, yeah, but I can't go away for 3 days right now. I've got this, and I've got that, and I can't. My busy life, I just can't. Well, if I could suggest that we can take these little snippets of time in our day. Might mean getting up a little earlier before the kids wake up, or at night, or in the middle of the day. Just a small little snippet of time, just to be still. Maybe take a walk in nature with your kids and notice what they notice. Notice what they notice, because they're tuned in. That's why it says, and a little child shall lead you. We kind of forget about it and brainwash ourselves out of this moment-to-moment awareness and living. Somehow in the watching, in the awareness, and noticing that moment, like the little girl in our story, love will bubble up. But I caution you, when that happens, everything unlike love comes up for healing. And just know that that's going to happen, and that's what's going on. The more we are involved in love and feeling love, the more we're going to notice what is not of God and what we no longer want in our lives. And we can love that, and we can let it go. So maybe this Halloween, we can take off our masks and evaluate how much of the way we look at the world is the way we look at ourselves. We need to do it for our whole lives because we go deeper and deeper in relationship. That's why Jesus knew that the reason they were all trying to trick him, like we've been talking about for the last 5 weeks, was because these people were operating out of pride and fear. They didn't realize how much they were loved or the importance of loving. And Jesus knew that. That's why he continued to love them anyway. And that's why we are continued to be loved anyway. All of this may seem unreal, or pie in the sky, or impossibly simple. We may just have to live into our gifts. And yep, that can be scary. And as Gandhi said, we have to be the change we want in the world. And it's cliche, because it's true. Amen.